Good morning, Rabbosai. Welcome to our shiur on Hilchas Yichud. Rez Hashem, we are finishing up Hilchas Yichud, the very last shiur or last two shiurim today. And maybe next week we'll see what we accomplish today. And that is, after going through all the various halachas of Yichud, we now have to bring it all l'maisa and figure out how serious is Yichud. Meaning, now that we know what is Yichud and what isn't Yichud, when there is a situation, when there isn't a situation, how nervous do we have to be and how severe is the halacha of Yichud to the point of, does a person have to give up their life to avoid a situation of yichud? That's the topic of today's shir. I have two other names for the shir. One name is, do you have to give up your life for abizrayu de gili arayos? If we assume that yichud is an abizrayu, is an accessory of gili arayos, we know you do have to give up your life for gili arayos. Well, does that severity extend not only to gili arayos per se, but also to yichud? Is yichud an outgrowth or an abizra, an accessory, an extension of gili arayos that will have that same severity of having to give up your life, like the gimel yaharag v'yavars, or not? The third title that I have is, what is the halacha of jumping off the ski lift to avoid yichud? There's a famous court case in 1963. The case was closed in 1967, but in 1963, there was a story about a young lady named Ruth Friedman, a 16-year-old girl who was a camp counselor in Camp Shira, and she spent her day off with a young boy named Yaakov Katz. So Yaakov Katz and she went on their day off together up in Bel Air Mountain Ski Center. How far is Bel Air from Bayesh from your colony, Bel Air Mountain? Okay, it's up there in the Catskills. And she, let's see the story actually in the legal brief I will share with you right now. I have the legal brief. Those of you who are lawyers will enjoy reading the legal brief. Hold on. Okay, Friedman versus State of New York. Whatever, 54 MICSC 2D448, that's for Sam Bergman to explain to us. Okay, on August 22, 1963, Ruth Friedman was 16 years and she had been reared in the Hebrew faith by parents who adhered to ultra-Orthodox tenets. She is a very firm girl. And she went to yeshiva schools and her own religious adherence included the strict observance of the Hebrew religion. She was a counselor and a lifeguard at Camp Shira. Okay. There we go. So Camp Shira is forever ingrained in the legal, New York legal code. She had a day off a week, which she generally spent with Yaakov Katz, 19 years old, and another counselor. August 22nd was her day off. She and Jack Katz decided to take a picnic lunch and drive to Bel Air Mountain Ski Center. Mr. Katz purchased two round-trip tickets, and they ascended the mountain via the said chairlift. At the trial, both Ms. Friedman and Ms. Katz testified that no one advised them at the base terminal or at the apex terminal that the lift operation closed for passenger traffic at 5:50 p.m. There were no signs. When they got to the top of the, they took the ski lift up to the top of the mountain, and they went for their picnic. And when they wanted to go down, Ms. Friedman was cold and said, since they bought round trip tickets, let's just take the chairlift down the mountain. And there's nothing that stopped them from doing so. They did not observe any barriers preventing their walking to the loading platform. There were no signs that forbade their entering. When there were no attendants, a few minutes after they started down the chairlift, and here's the exciting part, the chairlift ceased operation, and these two young people were stranded, suspended 20 to 25 feet in the air. They screamed and yelled for help for over 15 minutes, but to no avail. They discussed their situation, and Ms. Friedman became agitated, panicky, and reached a stage of near hysteria at the prospect of being stranded on the mountain 25 feet in the air overnight. It is our opinion, and so we find, that she reached the hysterical frame of reference for two reasons. In the first instance, I think this judge has a little bit of a sense of humor, it does not require much imagination to determine that a lightly dressed 16-year-old city girl might become hysterical at the prospect of spending the night on a mountainside, suspended in the air, with no apparent reason to hope for rescue until the next morning. Secondly, we must add to the fact of expectable hysteria, the moral compulsion of this young lady, that this young lady believed she was under, to not spend the night alone with a man. In other words, besides any girl being scared, any city girl, of course, being scared, as he says, there's an issue of yichud. And an Isser of Yichud might lead this young lady to want to jump off. So that is what happened. She jumped off and she got injured and she sued the ski center for not warning any of them that the ski lift stops at a certain time. So the plaintiffs called Rabbi Herschel Stahl. I don't know. Does anyone know Rabbi Herschel Stahl? Don't know who that is. As an expert witness, the rabbi knew Ms. Friedman and her family, and he advised the court that under the Hebrew law, the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to read the Shulchan Aruch together and see if we agree to Rabbi Stahl or not. There's a specific law, the Yichud, which absolutely forbids a woman to stay with a man in a place which is not available to a third person. That's true. And to violate this Yichud would be an overwhelming moral sin. That's true. Okay, now the next point is, we'll have to analyze. It is his opinion that a girl who had been trained in a 100% Orthodox home, as Ms. Friedman was, might even go to the lengths of jumping to her death to avoid violation of Yichud. The court was treated to a skillful, albeit rather vehement, cross-examination of Rabbi Stahl. It led us to the conclusion that while a member of the liberal or conservative wings of Judaism might disagree with the rabbi's interpretation of halacha, it was entirely within the realm of possibilities that an Orthodox member of Judaism would agree to the said interpretation. In other words, it is reasonable to assume that a 16-year-old girl would think that she has to jump off a chairlift and jump to her death rather than to violate Yichud. And that's the topic of today's shiur. Is that true? Does halacha require somebody who's in a situation of Yichud, or who's put into a situation of Yichud, or who enters a situation of Yichud, do they have to be ready to give up their life rather than to violate this Yichud? And of course, what's that, Avi? As a Pnuya Nida, correct? As a Pnuya Nida, as we assume a 6-year-old girl would probably have a Din of a Nida. So, I don't think it would be a 0% chance. I think it would be very risky. And that being said, does that make it? That's a good question. It's a good question. Yes. Okay. Is the Isser Yichud an Isser Bifnei Atzma, or only an Isser? If you have an Isser of Yichud, but for some reason there's something that will make them not do anything, a technical detail that'll make them not do anything. Will that take away the Isser Yichud? Yes, but that's also a question. That's because a Maisa Bia is not Shayach. It's not that here in a Maisa Bia is not Shayach, it's just that it will be a little bit dangerous. It will be a little bit dangerous. Okay. So let's see what the Gemara Sanhedrin says. And this Gemara in Sanhedrin is going to introduce to us a big sugya. The name of this sugya is called Abizraya de Gilei Arayos. And we know that just like a car has an accessory, you could take a car and you want to get a new radio, or you want to get new hubcaps or whatever other accessories for your car, you take it to a store that sells Abizrei Rechev, which is a modern day term for car accessories. If you want to buy towels and linen for your house, you go to a store that sells Abizrei Bayit. Well, if you want to do a Gilei Arayos that is not pure Gilei Arayos, but an accessory of Gilei Arayos, an extension of Gilei Arayos, like Chibuk, Nishuk, Yichud, all the things that's not an actual Bia, but is still considered in the realm of, in the general parasha of Gilei Arayos, but it's not the actual Maisa Bia, those would all be called Abizraihu de Gilei Arayos. So we have the same question when it comes to things of Avodah Zarah. A question that comes up this time of the year is going to churches, going to Christmas parties, going to, selling somebody who has an Amazon business and sells Christmas trinkets that relate to religion. Those are not doing Avodah Zarah, but they all relate indirectly to the practice of Avodah Zarah. Does one have to give up their life for any of those items? Which again are not the Isra of doing Avodah Zarah, but their extensions, their Abizrayu, of the various kinds of Avodah Zarah. What's an Abizra? So you have Abizrayu de Gilei Arayos. There's a concept of Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah. Is there an Abizrayu of Ritzicha? You either killed a guy or you didn't kill a guy. There's no, like... Okay, you could say that. That's a little bit of an extension. Rabbeinu Yonah might say something like that, but that wouldn't be the simple understanding. So that's the sugya that we have to learn today. A, there are two parts of the sugya. Number one, the first part will be, does one have to give their life up for Abizrah de Gilei Raiyos? And B, even if they do, does a scenario of Yichud constitute Abizrah de Gilei Raiyos? And C, would the case of Freeman versus the state of New York, because she sued Bel Air Mountain Ski Resort, which was owned by the state of New York, would that situation be considered a scenario of Abizrah de Gilei Raiyos if we assume that she does have to give up her life for Abizrah de Gilei Raiyos? So the sugya starts with a well-known Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Hey Amar Aleph, that tells us the story that you are all familiar with. Amrav Yehud Amarav. Maisa, once upon a time there was a story, ba'adam echad shenasan eina b'isha achas, v'had la libotina. He fell lovesick with a certain woman, and he was incredibly lovesick to the point that the doctor said the following, bo v'shol l'rofim, the rabbis came to ask the doctors about this person's illness, and the doctors responded that he indeed is so lovesick with this woman, we are scared for his life, and we are scared to the point that Elo Takana Achatibal, that if he doesn't have the opportunity to have Bia with this woman for whom he is lovesick, we are scared he might die. Die from what? I don't know. Die from lovesickness. Okay, that's not for us to figure out. Amra Chacham is the Chachamim who evaluated and took seriously the response of the doctors and recognized that it is true he might die. They say, good, we couldn't care less, let him die. Yamos Val Tibalo. It's not appropriate for better that he die rather than die from this lovesickness than do the prohibition of having beer with this woman for whom he's lovesick. Okay. That doesn't tell us so much. We know if there's Gilei Raiyos at risk, then it's better that he die rather than violate Gilei Raiyos, rather than having beer with this woman, I guess, whom he can't. Fine. That is not a chiddush. The next two lines are a chiddush. Continue the conversation between the Chacham and the doctors. The doctors said, okay, if you rabbis are not going to allow him to have beer with this woman to save his life, at least Tamod Lefan of Aruma, let her stand Aruma naked in front of him, and that when he'll be able to look at her, that will calm him down, and perhaps he'll be able to live. So it's a Jewish life at risk. This lovesick man's life is at risk. And the doctors are testifying to the Chachamim that this might save his life. To which the Chacham respond, Yamos v'al tamod l'fan of Aruma, let him die and not look at her undressed. Finally, the doctors said, in a desperate attempt to save this Jew's life, they say, okay, let him at least not look at her, let him not touch her, but let him at least hear her sweet voice, and she'll whisper sweet words to him, me'achori hageder, to sapri me'achori hageder, and maybe that hearing her voice will calm his lovesickness and perhaps save his life. Says Chazal, say the Chachamim to the doctors, Yomos v'al tisapri mome achori hakeder. Now we have such an incredibly powerful statement that the Chacham said, that it's better that she die, that he die, and they believe that he would die. They recognize and they took the doctor's word that he would die, better that he would die rather than hear her voice. Hear her sweet voice, whisper sweet words to him. Now that's clearly not Bia. That's not Gilei Raiyos in the strictest definition of the word. It's at most Abizrahu, an accessory, an extension of Gilei Raiyos. It's something that is erotic, there's something that is intimate, but it's not Bia. And yet the Chachamim say that even for that you have to give up your life. So that's the starting point. Now, why is it Gilei Raiyos? Meaning, who was this girl who the Chacham said better that he die? Pligi bar Yaakov bar Idi bar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, there was machlokes who this girl was. Chad omar eshes ishaya. Oh, so we understand if this woman is a married woman, she has a husband. The husband's probably incredibly angry at this guy who's lovesick with his wife. Well, forget the fact that the husband's angry. The woman is an eshes ish. For this lovesick man to touch her, to have beer with her, would certainly be Gilei Raiyos, you know, real Gilei Raiyos. And here the Gemara was only discussing the accessory of the Gilei Raiyos, not only the Bia, but even the Tamil, the fun of Aruma, or to Sapra Lama Me'achori HaGeder. Fine, then we can understand. But Chad Amar Panuya Haisa. that she was unmarried. Wait a second, she was unmarried, and I assume she could have gone to the mikvah in those days. So what's the, there's no Gilei Arayos here. Like, they could get married if they want. They could have bia if they want. What's the problem? Let them, you know, have any of those three options. Let him be bo'al her. Why not? There's no iser. I mean, if she's willing to. If she's not willing to, maybe she should be willing to save a guy's life. A woman who's not interested in a man, but here she has the opportunity to save his life. She just has to avail herself to him. And by allowing him to be with her, that will save another Jew's life. Maybe she should do it. So why does he have to give up his life? And why does Chacham let him rather die? She's a penuya. So Bishlama Lamanta Omar, Ashish Shapir, I understand she was an Ashish. It's real Avodizah, it's really Gilei Arayos, or an extension of Gilei Arayos, and we understand that in its situation being a Gilei Arayos, he has to give up his life. Ella concludes the Gemara. Lamanta Omar Punuya Haisa Michael Hai, what's the big deal? Why does he have to give up his life for something that's not really Gilei Arayos? She's a penuya. There's no answer of Gilei Arayos for penuya, presumably tahora. So her papa says, "Pagam mishpacha." It's a funny halacha. Pagam mishpacha. We're worried about her, you know, shiduchim for the family. Everyone's going to look bad. It's inappropriate. People are going to say, "This is the family that so and so, you know, fell in love with," and that's a reason for someone to die. Not sure why that should be. And the other opinion of Acha says, no, we're not going to allow this. Kadei shelo yu benos yisrael prutzos barayis. If you allow this, then all of a sudden everyone's going to become lovesick, and everyone's going to die if they don't have, you know, the prettiest girl in their class. And all of a sudden, all the girls in Klal Yisrael are going to be taken advantage of in this very inappropriate way, even if they're single girls. And that's not a way for Klal Yisrael to function. Therefore, we'd rather, for the sanctity of Klal Yisrael as a whole, for the sanctity of not any individual woman or her individual family, but for the kedush of Klal Yisrael, we're going to almost, like, say, let him die and not violate the kedusha, the potential risks to the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. What's that, Avi? No. The Chazal believed the doctors, and they said, let him die. We believe you that he's going to die. Let him die. Let him drop dead. And if he would drop dead, the Chacham would say, good, I'm glad he dropped dead. He had no right to do this iser for one of these reasons. Either it was Gilei Arayos, or because she was an Ashes, or it wasn't the Gilei Arayos, but let him drop dead and not ruin the family, or not ruin the Kedush of Klal Yisrael and have priestess Barayos. They weren't joking. They said Yamos. They weren't joking and said, okay, go ahead, let him die. They meant it. Let him die. So says the Ran, that we have pretty much a Mefurish Gemara that's answering our question. That if something is not Gilei Arayos per se, it's just looking at a woman who's not dressed, who's undressed, or even talking to her, hearing her voice in some kind of intimate conversation without even touching or seeing, he has to give up his life. That means you have to give up your life for Abizrayu, for accessories, for extensions of Gilei Arayos, even though it's not Bia Mamish. As around here, Paskins on that Gemara, Mimasha Amarna B'Samach Tomus, let him die. I should say Yamus. Va'al Tisapri Mo Me'achori HaGeder, let him not hear her voice. Ama Afilu Abizraya D'Arayas Yehoreg Val Yavar. And that is the conclusion of the Ran. So if we fast forward from this line of the Ran says that even for an accessory of Gilei Arayos, you have to give up your life. Let's talk about Ruth Friedman. Ruth Friedman is up there on the ski lift. If we assume that, just like, what's worse? Hearing a girl talk to you in your ear, or being in yichud with a girl, that same girl? I can imagine that yichud would be worse than just hearing her talk to you. And yet, and the Ran tells us that for hearing her talking to you, you have to give up your life. So here Ruth Friedman is in a situation of yichud, with Yaakov Katz, she's in Yichud. Yichud presumably is no worse, is no less than Medabri Mo Me'achari HaParago, Me'achari HaGeder. So it's very reasonable. According to this Ran, it seems like she should jump off the ski lift to her death, 20, 25 feet, but even if she dies, let her die, you know, and not violate Yichud. Maybe if he would be chivalrous, he should die. But okay, who says, you know, maybe chivalry is dead, and no pun intended. And, you know, she wanted to die, okay. So he found a good girl who's willing to kill herself so that he doesn't have to, you know, kill himself. Great. It's a good shidduch. That's what the Ran sounds like. That what? She was 16 years old, so? Infant means under 18. Yeah, she was 16 years old. Okay. Now, that's the Ran talking about the very specific case of Gilei Raos. What about, you know, again, our discussion today really is the question of Gilei Raos, but we have to remember there are other kinds of Yehorag Val Yavoras, like Avodah Zarah. So we have many shilas about Avodah Zarah. I mentioned three of them before. Going to a Christmas party, selling crucifixes, selling Big Day Kahuna for Goyim, selling incense, all kinds of business things for business. I had a shayla, I've mentioned this shayla in the shul. Somebody in our shul wanted to know if they could get into a deal where they would be selling spices to churches, to a church distributor, to a church. All those things is that you're not actually doing Avodah Zarah, but you're doing things that are related to Avodah Zarah. Or as we'll see later, the poskim talk about, we're going to see the Gemara in just a minute. What about getting a medication from a tree that's a Asherah tree, that was a tree that has an Issur Avodah Zarah on it, and you will derive benefit from it. And you will be healed, maybe, by a tree that had an Issur Avodah Zarah on it. And you're not doing Avodah Zarah, you're just deriving benefit from the medicinal aspect of that tree. So this rule of Abizraya Avodah Zarah, do you also have to give up your life? Well, says the Nemuki Yosef elsewhere in Sanhedrin, Vahani Shlosha Averos Damrinan, the three big three, you know, the three Yeharag Valyavar is Damrinan Yeharag Valyavar, Lav Davka, says the Nemuki Yosef, but Averu Gufa, not only for the actual Bia of Gilei Raos, for the actual Avoda of Avodah Zarah, for the actual Maaser Ritzicha of Ritzicha, El Inhu Vechol Abizrayhu Kamrinan. And what is the word Abizrayah? What does that unusual word mean? Peish Abizrayah, things that are shayach lehem, things that are accessories, extensions. And he brings a raya from the story that we just said, that you have to give up your life. This sick, lovesick man had to give up his life even not to look at a woman undressed, or even not to hear a woman talk to him if it's inappropriate speech, which is not the maisa bia, and yet he still had to give up his life. And the Mukhi Yetzi says, and I have another raya. Vamrina Nam is also Gemara Pesach that we'll see right now in the case of Bakol Misrapim, B'makom Sakana, that you're allowed to get refuah from all kinds of, you can get refuah from non-kosher sources, if you're going to die, if a person will die and he needs a refuah from a non-kosher source, no problem, but not if it's Avodah Zarah. Let's see that inside. Amar Rebbe Yaakov, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Bakol Misrapim, you could get refuah, medicines from all sources, even if it's non-kosher sources, no problem, except if it's from Asei Asherah, from something that is Asur Midin Avodah Zarah, a tree that was Ne'avad, then you can't get refuah, meaning let the person will die, the patient will die, rather than get Hana from this Atzei Asher. Frek the Gemara, what kind of, how sick is he? Hechidam inim at the Ika Sakana, that the guy is in Sakana, afil Atzei Asher, let him get Hana from the Atzei Asher, he's going to die. If there's no Sakana, then of course he shouldn't use non-kosher food. So the Gemara concludes that we're talking about a guy who is going to die if he doesn't get this medicine, and still he can't get benefit from Atzei Asherah. And what's the source for this? And this is the famous source that teaches us that you have to give up your life not to do Avodah Zarah. And you see that the Gemara is applying, as we'll see in a second, the Isra of Avodah Zarah, not only to the Isra of Avodah Zarah per se, but even to extensions of Avodah Zarah, like deriving benefit from something that's Asur Midin Avodah Zarah. This is the story. The Torah says, B'chol Nafshecha and B'chol Modecha, you have to serve Hashem. Why did the Torah say you have to serve Hashem both with your wealth and with your neshama? If you have to serve your well, with your neshama, certainly with your wealth. And the Gemara says that there are some people who value their wealth more, some people value their neshama more. And the Torah tells you that you have to give whatever is most precious to you, whether it's your wealth or your life, you have to give it up and not to avodah zarah. So the Gemara says that even about not actually doing avodah zarah, but even just getting hana'a from an isra avodah zarah, from a tree that was ne'avad, and you getting medicinal value from that tree is going to be considered something that you have to give up your life for. So you see, the Nebuchadnezzar says, you see, this is a second Gemara, not in the realm of Gilei Arayos, but in the realm of Avodah Zarah, that you have to give up your life, not only for the Isser itself, the big three themselves, but even for their accessories and extensions. And therefore, we have yet another source in Shas, and therefore another opinion in the Rishonim, that Ruth Freeman might very well have to jump off that ski lift to her death to avoid violating the Abizrahu of Gilei Arayos. That is the opinion of the Ran, the Nimuka Yosef, and I don't have it on my sheets, but I believe not everybody agrees to this. I believe there's a shita, maybe of Tosis, I don't have it in my source sheets here, who disagrees and says, no, you only have to give up your life for the actual Averas, but not for the extensions of the Averas. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like this, Ran, and this Rabbeinu, and this Nimuk Yosef? They have very strong rayas. They have two rayas from Shas. Seems to be an explicit Gemara by Hela Libotina, by the guy who's lovesick, and seems to be an explicit Gemara by the case of the Atzei Asher, by the refuah from an Eitz Asherah. Seems to be pretty clear that you do have to give up your life even for these accessories. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins halacha l'maisa. This is a Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Yoredeya, which is Hilchas Avodah Zarah. And Hilchas Avodah Zarah talks about the din of Yeharig Vayavar. This simon in Shulchan Aruch, Kufnen Zayin, is not a long simon. It has like three seifim. It's pretty short. The first seif is very, very long. And there's probably more written on this one seif, Kufnen Zayin Seif Aleph of Yoredeya, than maybe any other seif in Shulchan Aruch. It's basically when a person has to give for their life and all the permutations and of that shaila, is this one seif in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And we'll look at it very cursorily, and we'll see a very clear psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So we know that when it comes to giving up your life, if there's a Shas Hashmad, then you have to give up your life even for Araksa Demasana, even to change the shoelaces, even for a Minag Yisrael, you have to give up your life. But if there's no Shas Hashmad, and it's not in front of it's not a Chil Hashem Barabim, then you only have to give up your life for the three big three. Babodes Kochavim, Gilei Arayos, Shrichas Damim, Afil Bitzina, even if it's no one's watching, v'shlo b'shas ha'gzeres, not shas ha'shmad, afil ena ovi kochav mechavin el hana, so even though they're not doing it to mess you up, they just want it for their own benefit, yeharig v'yavar. These three averes are so severe, we have to give up our lives for these three averes, this is what we know already. Skip it for a second. One second. Okay, this Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it explicitly. I thought it was there. Maybe I didn't. I don't have the line of the Shulchan Aruch here. I believe, if you'll bear with me for a minute, we're going to look quickly at the line of the Shulchan Aruch, because I think it is in the Shulchan Aruch, and I want to show it to you explicitly how we paskin in this Shaila. So please join me as I show you. Now you see how I work. Yoredeya, Kufnen Zayin, this is the Bar Ilan program. Kufnen Zayin, and this is the Shulchan Aruch. you see all those letters, that's because there's so many mafarshim on it. That's why there's so many letters here, the green letters. That's a long Rama. I think it's the Rama. Here we go. V'chol iser avodas kochavim v'gili aras shrichus damim afal pish ein bo misa. What does that mean? Rak lav ba'alma. Did I have that or I didn't have that? Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. I just didn't realize. I have it here. Okay. V'chol iser avodas kochavim v'gili aras shrichus damim. Any iser of the, in the realm of avodas zara and the gili aras shrichus damim, even if it's not the main, the Maisa Bia, or the Maisa Avoda, for which you get killed. Afu Bish Ein Bo Misa, meaning, if it's real, the Maisa Bia, you get killed. If it's Avoda, you bow down to the idol, you do get killed. Says the Rama, even if we're talking about the violations of these Averos, that are not the main Isser of actual Avoda Zara, an actual Bia, Afu Bish Ein Bo Misa, it's only an extension, Rak Lav Ba'am, it's only something that's a Lav, Tzarech lehareg velo lavar. You have to give up your life. So if something is a lav, for example, what's an alav that is a lav of Gili Arayas? How about Chibuk V'Nishuk? Chibuk V'Nishuk is a lo sase. Chibuk V'Nishuk is a lo sase. Let's say we'll talk about maybe only if it's derech chiba. Okay, but certainly Chibuk V'Nishuk is a lo sase. Kissing, a person kissing his girlfriend is a lo sase. So does he have to, does she have to jump, off the boat? If the boyfriend is trying to kiss the girlfriend, does she have to jump off the boat not to get kissed? Well, it would sound like, I'm going to change my tune in a second for a side reason, but it sounds, what? Yeah, that's the reason why it doesn't apply. That's correct. But theoretically, it sounds like the concept of kissing, a boyfriend kissing a girlfriend, while she's a nida, is a lav. It's a lo sase. It's not gili arayis. It's not bia. It's not a misa. But it's a lo sase. And therefore, theoretically, you'd think that there has to be yaharik v'alyavar, that she has to jump off the boat, or he's in a helicopter taking her for a ride. She has to jump out of the helicopter if he tries to kiss her. That's what you'd think. That's what it sounds like. It might seem like. We're not going to say that. Don't go jumping off boats, anybody. But that's what it sounds like. We're just trying to illustrate the point that the Shulchan Aruch is passing, like the Ran, like the Nemuka Yosef, like the two Rayas that we saw in Shas from the case of Hela Libotina and in the case of Isil Hisrape Be'atzi Asherah, that you have to give up your life even for Abizra'a de Gilei Arayis, so long as they're a lav. Which means that if we assume that Yichud is a lav, that Yichud is a losase, Yichud also should theoretically be subsumed under this Isser, and Ruth Friedman very much should jump off the ski lift so as not to violate this losase of Yichud. Now, is Yichud really a losase? Because it says it has to at least be a lav be'alma. It has to at least be a lav, as Rama says. So if you remember 3-4 months ago, I don't know if I remember, I assume you might not remember, there was a big discussion whether Yichud's Daraisa, whether Yichud's Drabanan. The language of the Gemara said Remez li Yichud min HaTorah. It wasn't explicit, it was a Remez, but it seems, I believe most poskim do assume that Yichud is Daraisa, at least Yichud in the full sense, when it's one man, one woman. That would be Yichud, that would probably, yes, be a lav daraisa. So, at this point, we are going to give 5 stars to Ruth Friedman for jumping off that ski lift. But now we have to start the Yavoda and look at some other aspects of this Shulchan Aruch. And that is number one. This is what Avi Haubin said just a minute ago. The Rama says, when does somebody have to give up their life? That's only when they're doing something active. V'davka kishomrim lo la'asos ma'isa. Do the bia, do the ritzicha, do the avodah zara. Kagon she'omru l'ish legalas erva o she'harig. Do the bia, be megal erva, or we're going to kill you. Aval im, what happens if the woman is the victim? A married woman is a rape victim, Rachmana Litzlan. She's about to be raped. Does she have to jump off the boat? A woman is attached. She's going to, you know, take... they say, let me rape you or I'm going to kill you. Should she say, oh, since I'm an Eishes Ish, and Gili Arayis, Bia, Mamish Bia, is Yeharik Val Yavar, I have to be killed? Says the Gemara, no, because this is the sugya in Sanhedrin of Esther Karka Olam, which we're not going to get into right now, that she's going to be passive, and you don't have to give up your life for a passive violation of Gili Arayis, or Shvichus Damim, or Avodah Zara. Another situation. How do you have a passive violation of Ritzicha? Listen to this. They say, we're going to throw you on a babe. We're going to use you out as a cannonball. You will be just lifted up and dropped from a height of, I don't know, 3 stories high, and you're going to land right on that little baby over there. You'll crush the baby. You'll kill the baby. What are you doing? You're not active. You're just standing still. They're using you as a human cannonball to drop you and to kill, Achmal, it's not a little, somebody below, 3 floors below. So there, you're not actively killing anybody. You're not doing an act of striking to kill somebody. You're being used as an object, just like the woman who's being raped is being used as an object. She's being passively used as an object. And in that situation, the Rama says, there is no requirement if there's no active violation of the Isser. It's just be an object of that Isser. Or, if there's a man who's already has an erection, and they take this man who has an erection, they lift him up and they stuff him into the woman. So that case where, again, the man didn't do anything active, he just stood there and was lifted up and, you know, pushed into her. So again, that's a situation where he was not active, and all these three situations, all these three bullet points, is not a maisa, and therefore a person does not have to give up his life. All these three cases, ein tzarech leharig. Okay, Rabosai. Let's analyze, let's apply this rule of the Rama to our cases of Freeman versus the state of New York. Let's assume that if she got on the ski lift while it was operating, it's not considered yichud. Because so long as it's not yichud, because the lift ski lift is taking her with their people, is moving around with their people, or they're concerned there will be people in a minute as they're you know, riding down the mountain. So there's no yichud if the ski lift is operational. That means she entered beheter. Now that she finds herself stranded mid-air, 25 feet in the air, and it's getting dark, is she doing an act as she does this yichud? It's a completely passive violation of yichud. Yes, it might be yichud, but she didn't go to do a yichud. She didn't walk and make herself yichud. She didn't lock the door with her and the boy in a room. She finds herself passively violating the Isser of Yichud. You know what it's like? It's like you're in the house, and a woman walks into the house, and your cleaning lady walks into the house and locks the door behind her. So do you have to give up your life? Do you have to jump out of the third floor window and die so that you don't violate Yichud? Yeah, or there are three, you came into the room with you and a man and a woman, and one of the men left, leaving you and the woman alone in the house. So do you have to jump out of the third floor window to die so that you don't violate Yichud? So according to this Rama, since you're passive in this violation, and so too, Ruth Friedman, she found herself, she entered it wasn't Yichud. She found herself stranded midair when the chairlift stopped in midair. She just found herself stuck there. So she's passive, there's no Maisa. Therefore, it seems that according to this Rama, she would not have to give up her debt. She would not have to give up her life. Ein tzarech leharei, because she's not doing a Maisa. And therefore, even if we pass that yichud is something for which you do have to give up your life, which is itself a chiddush, but it wouldn't apply. And even if we assume that yichud is a lav, which we do, and you do have to give up your life for a lav, even though it's not a chiyuv misa. However, since there is no misa for Ruth Friedman because she's stranded there, she's not entering the situation of yichud. She's just stranded in a situation of yichud. She does not have to give up her life. That's what it seems from the maskana. So you'd think that Rabbi Stahl, who is the expert witness in the case of Ruth Friedman versus State of New York, knew this Rama, And you'd assume that Rabbi Stahl should say that since there's no Maisa, she doesn't have to jump. And therefore, if she didn't have to jump, then she has no right to sue New York State, who managed the Bel Air Mountain Ski Resort. We'll come back to that point in a minute or two. This halacha of giving up your life for, or letting death be the preferable option rather than violating Abizrai de Gilarayas, is of course nogeya to another situation that I think we've spoken about in the past. I mentioned in the past the next line of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the biggest chumrah being a Sfaradi. I don't know if Sfaradim even passing like this incredibly chumradika line of the Ramah. This is of course the case of in Hilchas Nida, a wife who's a Nida, and she collapses. So is the husband allowed to, you know, reach down to her wrist and take her, you know, to take her pulse, to see, you know, to administer first aid, give CPR? Shulchan Aruch says, no, in Baila Rofe, even if the husband is a dat, he's a trained medical professional, and she's ill, it's also for him to check her pulse. Defek is pressure, is pulse. Bang, bang, bang. You know, that's what the pulse is. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. A wild psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah says, no, 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 we don't paskin that way. If there's a sakana, we don't paskin that way. If he says the Ramah, if he mashaka safti, denogin heterim tzricha elav, demishamishla, we hold that he's allowed to. We hold that it's mutter for him to take care of her if there's no one else. Koshkin to mutter mashishla defek, if there's no anyone else and she's dangerously ill. And main rofi acher, of course, if there's someone else who could come in a timely fashion without increasing the risk of increasing risk. But tzricha elav, then yesh sakana b'chol, if there's a sakana, then the Ramah says it's mutter. But the Shulchan Aruch says it's aser. Now, this Shulchan Aruch is based on the Shaila. Why does the Mechabe say that a husband cannot violate Negia, right? What is the husband doing when he takes his wife's pulse that the Mechabe says it's asur to do? It's the Isra that we're talking about is an Isra of Negia. Negia is what? Negia is Abizrai de Gilarayas, and yet the Shulchan Aruch says that she should die. Rather, that the husband should let her die rather than violate the Isra of Negia. Right? The critique that we're going to see in a minute that this shouldn't even be Negia because it's not their Chiba. That we'll see the Shach's critique. But this Shulchan Aruch is paskening that you have to give up your life. That death is more preferable than negia, not bia, not gili arayis. We're not talking about a husband being boel ishto nida chas shalom. We're talking about a husband touching ishto nida. For that, the Shulchan Aruch says. So here you see the Shulchan Aruch say explicitly a second time, just like he said by avodah zara, you have to give up your life even for abizrai de gili arayis. Here also, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to give up your life. Rather than, you have to give up, well, she's going to die, rather than violate Negia. Of course, the Shach is going to take issue. And what's the source of this Shulchan Aruch? What's the source of the Shulchan Aruch that you have to give up your life, or that the wife has to die, rather than be treated by her husband who'll have to touch her while she's a Nida? Again, we don't pass like this Shulchan Aruch. But what's the source of that Shulchan Aruch's opinion? The Gemara that we learned together. The Gemara that we said that it's better that the lovesick man die, rather than tamo the fun of arumo or tesaper imol meachori hageder, to hamrina, like the Shach explains, what's the source of the Shulchan Aruch who says let this sick wife die? To hamrina b'shas ma'ase ba'ad mecha shenas neina b'isha, and it's better that they die, that the lovesick man dies. So too here, it's better that the wife dies than the husband should touch her, even though it's only a lav of negia. Okay, now of course, the Shach's critique. Is that even if you want to be machmir, Mr. Shulchan Aruch, even if you want to be machmir, Mr. Shulchan Aruch, that negiah is aser and negiah is abizrai de gilarayas and negiah is olosasei, but the Shach says, but not taking pulse, not administering medical aid, mikom kol mash the afa Rambam, even the Rambam who says that negiah is aser daraisa, lo kamer elikish osa chibuk v'nishuk. derech chibas bia, if there's an erotic touching, that's the kind of touching that would constitute an issur daraisa if his wife is a nida. Taking her pulse is not. And therefore, this shach is acceptable halacha, and we reject the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, since it's not erotic, therefore it's not considered to be something that you have to give up your life. Oh, let's take a time out. Let's go back to Ruth Friedman versus State of New York. Is her being... All he said was that negia that the Torah asers midaraisa is not this kind of negia. It's not negia of taking blood pressure. It's all the negia of derech bia. Do we find anywhere that yichud is only aser daraisa if there's an erotic reason for the bia, for the yichud? Let's say somebody wants to be miyached for a business meeting. Does that make it not yichud? I don't think it makes it not yichud on a deraisa. If somebody says, I'm being misyachid with a woman, with an erva, with an eshes ish, because she's my client, does that take away the iser yichud deraisa? I don't think so. So the fact that I don't think that will make a difference whether there is whether there's an erotic intent only changes whether there's an iser of negiyah deraisa or not an iser of negiyah deraisa. But I think the iser of yichud will apply whether there's an erotic intent or not an erotic intent. I think there'll still be an iser yichud. So this might not help us in and of itself. But let's see this Radvaz. The Radvaz is talking about a case where the case that we've been just discussing, where somebody's taking the pulse of a woman who's ill and there's no one else to care for her. And the Radvaz says, that was a very early Acharon. He lived around, I don't know, like 1600 or maybe even before that. And he says, I understand you have to give up your life if you want to touch her. But here, no one's interested in touching. It's just somebody's sick and they have to administer first aid. That's when you have to give up your life. Where they're hiding out in a cave, in a bomb shelter. There's no one who's going to be able to take care of his wife. You're going to let her die because you don't want to touch her? That's not Dachi Noam. Interesting, Svara. Maybe yes. Maybe it's a Gilei Arayos and it's a Bizrai de Gilei Arayos, right? Maybe you have to give up your life for that. Says the Radvaz something interesting. Says, what's the raya from the guy who is lovesick? The guy who is lovesick, right? We want him to die rather than to look at her. We want him to die rather than to talk to her. Maybe we should want someone to die rather than be in yichud with her. Look at the svara that the Radvaz is now going to say. He says, there's something unique about the case of the lovesick man, that Gemara in Sanhedrin, from which we learn that you have to give up your life for even Abiz Rai de Gilei Rayos. And that's because, where did the sickness come from? The sickness came from his desire for a woman. Lo kashika, dahasam, in the case of the lovesick man, ba hacholim machmas ha'avera. It was his lust, or his erotic desire, for someone to whom he's aser, for this Eshes Ish, for example, that led him to become lovesick. Therefore, let him die. But if somebody is just being in a situation, aval hacha lo b'acholim machmas havera, then it's mutter. If you're going to do a refuah for somebody, you want to administer medical aid, the reason why the hatzalah guy comes to treat a woman, or the reason why a doctor comes to treat a woman, is not because he's in love with this woman and wants to touch her, so therefore he's gonna, you know, that's not what's happening. There was a situation of a medical need that necessitated this touching. Oh, what do you see? You see the possibility that there's maybe is a difference. If the yichud is entered for an intimate reason, then maybe that's something that you have to give up your life for, possibly. If it's, on the other hand, forced by a situation that they didn't enter the yichud, but there's some other situation that forced the yichud, maybe you don't have to give up your life. This is a point... What? No, but Amnon was interested. She was in a yichud situation. Amnon, but she was raped by Amnon. Amnon was lovesick with her, and he. Yes, that is correct. But that was before. That's the reason why we made the takana, because we're worried that you're saying that the concern for issa could happen even if there's another reason. It could a bad thing could still happen. Yeah, so that's what the Taras HaYichud suggests, that so you can read the bottom paragraph where my cursor is, the bottom six lines. Vimken Yeshlamer, Hu Hadin B'Yichud. Just like we're saying that when it comes to touching, maybe the touching that's asur, for which you have to give up your life, is when there is some erotic goal. But if it's touching that's to provide medical aid, it's not going to be asur. So maybe you could say the same thing by Yichud. That maybe the yichud is rak hecha shemiskavi l'guf aveira. Maybe when a person wants to be in a room, a secluded room with this woman, then he's miskavi l'guf aveira. Then we'll say that it's yaharik val yavar. But if a person is, for example, the case that it comes up very often is in an ambulance. Is a woman allowed to go in an ambulance, or is a woman allowed to be an ambulance paramedic or EMT? Well, let's think for a second. Let's say you have two women and a man. Well, let's say there's one and one. Let's just say there's one and one. One person driving an ambulance, or one person driving somebody to the hospital, racing to the hospital, and the other person is, one is a man, one is a woman. Let's say that's a situation of yichud. Whatever figure the situation is, it's on a secluded road, or... they're in the back. Maybe the back where they treat the patient is closed off. There, no window. You can't look into ambulances. Oftentimes, have windows you shouldn't look into because they don't want the passerbys to look into a person being treated. So let's say the back of the ambulance is cut off from the driver, cut off from the people around, and in the back you have a female patient and a male EMT or a male paramedic. He's saving her life. I don't care if he's saving her life. That's yichud. It's avizrah degilarayis. Let her die. How should she be able to be in a secluded back of an ambulance? Now, I know the back of the ambulance and the front of the ambulance, they could see through. Maybe the windows they could see through. But, okay, put those details aside. Says the Taras HaYichud, maybe since the reason why there is this Yichud was not for a reason of eroticism, or not for a reason of intimacy, but rather just for medical need, maybe you don't have to give up your life for that. In other words, maybe we could allow her to be saved for medical reasons and allow her to get into an ambulance to save her life, because the goal is not for something intimate. Avel b'chihai gam, look at the last three lines. Shehi chol avein rotz lis yachid. It's not that she's looking to have yichud with this guy who happens to be an EMT. No. She needs the EMT for his medical knowledge. Rak machalasa machrichasa lis yachid. It's her sickness that's bringing her, that's pushing her to have yichud. Last line, there we will say that pikuach nefesh will rise to the top and she'll be able to be saved, because there is no goal, there's no intent of an intimate reason for the yichud. I could imagine, give me a second, this logic is another svara I think we could be making in the case of Ruth Freeman versus State of New York. Because she didn't enter the yichud because she loved Jack Katz. Yes, she was going out with Jack Katz, and yes, she liked Jack Katz. But she didn't go into a yichud with Jack Katz because she loved him or because she wanted to be in yichud with him. To the contrary, when she realized she was in yichud, she wanted to jump off. She was in a situation, it was a situation that caused the yichud, not her interest to be alone with a man that caused the yichud. If that's the case, we have another svara, a second svara, not just that she was passive, but be that her goal, her intent was not, or their intent was not, to be misyachid for intimate purposes. And maybe that also is another, a second reason why she shouldn't have to jump off the chairlift. Yeah, what do you want to say? Intimacy. But the Yichud, I agree to you, I agree with you that the reason why they went on a date was because there was an intimate feeling. I agree with you that they sat together on a chair that's because of an intimate feeling. But they did not enter a Yichud because of an intimate feeling. There's nothing wrong. I don't want to say there's nothing wrong. I can't say there's a sif in the Shulchan Aruch that says you can't sit on a chair with your boyfriend if there are people around. Or even if there are no people around, the fact that the chair travels over people. So there are going to be people there. It's not a Yichud situation. The Yichud situation was thrust upon them externally because they didn't know, the point of the rest of the case, which I didn't say, is that they didn't know that the chair was going to stop at 5:50 p.m. So there was... It's not Yichud, right. No, but that wasn't their intent. They didn't even know that that was the case. They didn't. Okay, carelessness. That's shogeg. That's exactly what I'm saying. That they didn't do it with intent. I'm focusing on their intent. Carelessness is not intent. Carelessness is carelessness. It's not kavana lachto. I think the proof is in the pudding. The fact that when she realized that she was in yichud, she jumped off. Okay, maybe because she was hysterical, but she wasn't looking to have yichud. She was looking to hang out, not to have yichud. Baruch Hashem, Benos Yisrael, even if you want to hang out with the boys, that's fine, but not to have, not, God forbid, to be in a case of Yichud. There were people that could come up at any time. Even if there aren't people there right now, it doesn't matter, because somebody could be on the next chairlift up or the next chairlift down. So you don't have to be in a situation where there are people around. There's a situation where people could be coming in the same way like going in an elevator. You go in an elevator, yeah, exactly. You go in an elevator with just you and a woman. Of course it's mutter. Why? Because the door could open at any time and somebody else could come in. So here you're on a chairlift, you're on a slope in the summer, you're in Beller Mountain, and even if you are alone in the picnic area, somebody could walk over at any time, and therefore you're not in a situation of yichud. Let's finish off with one other... okay, so we just had two primary, we just said three points today. The first point is suggesting that maybe you do have to give up your life for Yichud because Yichud is Avizra de Gilei Arayos, and it is, let's assume it is a Lo Saseh. And then we finished off saying two kulas, why it might not apply. Number one, because maybe it's only if a person does an active, is active, violates the Torah actively as opposed to being passive, karka olam, and therefore this situation of Yichud, I think, was thrust upon her. Secondly, maybe we have this new svara from the Ravaz, it's only when there's a kavana to do something wrong that you have to give up your life. Like Hel Elibotina, when it's the love sickness, his desire for her caused his love sickness, that's why he had to die. But if it would just be for medical purposes, maybe you wouldn't have to give up your life. Here also, the Yichud crept up on them. They didn't seek out the Yichud. That was the second Svar Lahakel. So based on our analysis, it would come out that I have two reasons why she should not have jumped. Why it would not be Yichud? Yes, it would be Yichud, of course, but she doesn't. It's not Yichud that she has to give up her life for, but first of all, because of Karka Olam, she's being passive. Secondly, that she's not doing it for the Kavana of an intimate reason. She found herself in this situation. They weren't looking to be Misyachid together. This Shaila was an important Shaila that Achronim talk about when we talk about a woman going to give birth and taking a wagon driver to the Mialedes, or a Mialedes taking a wagon driver to help a woman who's having a hard time giving birth. You have a male wagon driver, you have a female either patient or a female Mialedes, and it's the situation that demands that they be in this scenario. Does she have to give up the life? I mean, does someone have to give up their life? In other words, of course it's Yichud. But to save a life, will we permit Yichud? That's where the poskim talk about this shaila. I gave you the case of the ambulance, but the shaila was asked generations ago, before ambulances, in the case of wagon drivers, I mean, that's basically like an ambulance. And there's a very strong svara of Reb Shimon Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger says something very strong. He says, we know that Karka Olam, you don't have to give up your life for Karka Olam if you're being passively violating the Isser. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, what happens if you're not, you're actively getting into the cab, the woman is walking into the ambulance to be secluded with a man, the paramedic. You can't say it's Karka Olam. But what's forcing her into the ambulance? What's forcing her into the ambulance, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, is the fact that the Torah says you have to save your life. So what's forcing you into the ambulance is the base level is that the Torah requires you to save your life. The question is, okay, maybe you have to give up your life because you can't be in Yichud, but why are you getting into the ambulance? To save your life. Look what Rav Shlomo Kluger says. Kevin de min ha-Torah mechuyeves lisa lahatzin nefashos. She has to get into the ambulance to save a life. Im kein ein ha-Yichud shel ha-Ratzon rak ones. De lo gora ones shel Torah me ones acher. You know what it's like? She's being active, isn't she? But she's not being active in the sense of doing something proactive. She's being active because the Torah says you must save your life. And therefore, you know what it's like? It's like karka olam, even though she's being active. Let me say that again. We typically think karka olam means you are physically immobile. Mechad is mechadish from Shlomo Kluger here, that if the reason why she did this walking into the ambulance is to save her life, the Torah forced her into the ambulance. In other words, it's not just like a man forces a woman and rapes her, she's karka olam. Here the Torah is, I don't want to say raping the woman, the Torah is forcing the woman into the ambulance to save her life, because the Torah wants her to live, and the Torah is forcing her into the ambulance. Now that she's in the ambulance, it's yichud? Yeah, but it's like karka olam. She's not active. The Torah made her get in. She didn't want to get in, the Torah made her get in. The Torah that says, save your life, get into the ambulance, is what made her get into the ambulance. And therefore, that's like karka olam, where she's being forced into a situation, not because she wanted to go in. And suggests to Shlomo Kluger that even if she is physically active, she walked into the ambulance, they don't have to wheel her up on a stretcher. Even if she walked into the ambulance, that scenario is like karka olam, meaning karka olam is more conceptual than physical. She is mobilely inactive. She's mobilely passive. I know it's an oxymoron. You can't say you're moving, but you're karka olam. That's the chiddush of Shlomo Kluger, that since she's forced into the ambulance by virtue of the fact that the Torah says you have to save your life and not die, the Torah put you there. You're forced by the Torah to save your life, to be in this case of yichud. And therefore, we're going to consider it karka olam, and she doesn't have to give up her life. So again, we have a few svaras, two and a half svaras, to permit this yichud of Ruth Friedman, and she doesn't have to jump off. Therefore, according to Uri Orlian, does she have to jump off? No. Does she have the right to sue the Bel Air Mountain ski resort owned by the state of New York? According to Uri Orlian, absolutely not. But the judge is smarter than me. Look what the judge writes, and we'll finish with this. And the judge makes the point that it's not really the court decision of her right to sue the state of New York is not a function of what is the halacha, but rather, as you'll see what he says, it appears to the court, this is the conclusion, that the point is not whether Rabbi Stahl gave us an absolutely correct interpretation of the Hebrew law. Although we hasten to add, we admire his composure, his intellect, his background, his obvious sincere truthfulness in his answers, that's not what we care about. But we care about whether there's a branch of Judaism which believes in this interpretation, that you have to give up your life for Yichud, and whether Miss Friedman is a member of this group. Which is true, she is. She's ultra-Orthodox, and there are ultra-Orthodox people who think that Yichud is Yehovah Yavar. But look what he says in the next line. Certainly Rabbi Stahl's testimony is such a basis for the moral compulsion that Miss Friedman believes she was under, meaning whether she had a moral compulsion or not, the context of her being a frum girl, a frum Beis Yaakov girl, a frum yeshiva girl, who knows that there's a concept of yichud, who knows that there's a concept of Gilei Arayos, who knows there's a concept of Yehara Glayavar, she realizes that she is under that. In our opinion, that increased the hysteria we believe a young girl might well experience regardless of faith. So meaning, even if the halacha is not, and that's what that's a very smart, separation of church and state that the judge did in this case, it's not a shaila of whether halacha says she should jump off or not. The question at hand in the judge's eyes is whether a 16-year-old girl who's a little bit hysterical would think that she might have to, that there might be a halacha. And it is clear that yes, although you and I gave a few svaris lahakel, we knew the Ramah that says since it's karka olam and it's passive and there's no intent, then maybe she doesn't have to jump off. But it's possible, said the judge, that a girl who's 16 years old, growing up in a house where they know that you have to give up your life for Gili Arayis, would think that maybe she has to give up her life, and in that hysteria she jumps off. Therefore, they did award her damages for her medical bills. I don't know if they gave her for like other stuff, but the medical bills, they did definitely award her. And what?
Yeah, I don't